This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, for so much of our wildlife here in Hertfordshire, prolonged hot, dry weather is a real challenge. And one of the best ways to help wildlife in our own outdoor spaces is to put out fresh water regularly. Birds, hedgehogs, foxes and even bees will all appreciate water to drink from. And we heard recently how hot weather is particularly hard for bumblebees with their furry heat-retaining coats and who apparently rely on plants to give them their moisture, which is quite tricky when flowers are shriveling and dropping off. However, there's one type of wildlife that's been doing, well, rather well, partly due to the weather and partly due to the efforts of the Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trusts on their reserves. I spoke to Ian Ward, Wilder Woodlands and Reserves Officer at the Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, and I started by asking him if butterflies really do like the heat.
So generally, butterflies do pretty well in sort of hot, dry conditions. They're cold-blooded invertebrates, so it suits them to be in the sun. It can sometimes be too hot, though. So when you're seeing these temperatures going up above 30, 35 degrees, you'll actually be seeing butterflies getting into the shade to try and protect themselves from that really, really strong heat. Yeah, so it's sort of a bit of sort of swings and roundabouts, really.
Yeah, indeed. And I just wondered, actually, because of course you don't have butterflies without having caterpillars. Isn't it hard for caterpillars when everything's a bit dry?
Generally, the caterpillars will be feeding on a specific host food plant. And as long as those plants are well established and doing okay, then they should be all right. And actually, a lot of the caterpillars you will find are feedings during the autumn or even into the winter and hibernating over the winter and feeding in the spring. So there are caterpillars around at this time of year, but yeah, quite a lot of them are sort of around when it's not quite so hot as well. Generally, they will be able to shelter underneath leaves and hide from that extreme sunlight as well.
So we did seem to have earlier in the summer have more butterflies then. Has the heat affected when we're seeing butterflies this year?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think we've seen butterflies emerging sort of up to a month earlier than we usually might have expected. So if you go back like a decade and you look at the sort of average emergence time of perhaps a white admiral, it would have been very late June, early July. I actually saw the first white admiral myself this year on the 7th of June. So you can see that's like a considerable difference in time. And that's been the same for many other butterfly species as well.
So let's talk about some of the butterflies that you've been helping on your Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust Nature Reserves. And perhaps we could start with Astonbury Wood Nature Reserve, which is near Stevenage. Can you tell us what kind of butterflies you've been seeing do well there and perhaps what you've done to help them?
So I'd say specifically at Astonbury Wood, this year we've seen a higher number of silverwash fritillaries among, you know, several other species of butterfly that we see there regularly.
Generally, could you just tell us what that butterfly looks like, Ian?
Yeah, so it's a very impressive large orange butterfly. The males, they've got black markings on the wings. The males, if you see them stopped and feeding with their wings open, they have four obvious lines on the wings, which are scent scales. They're bright orange, very big, fast, powerful flyers. And the females are a bit duller and they lack the scent scale markings on the wings. So they just sort of have more circular blotches on the wings, if you like. But yeah, really impressive butterfly to see flying around the woodlands. Astonbury Wood, we've carried out quite a lot of coppicing work there. So we've opened some areas up as well as some ride widening work. And what we've found is that the male butterflies are finding those areas really good for holding territories. So where before we may have only seen one individual, this year I've seen 4 individual males all holding territories, and they feed on generally bramble that is in sunlight as well. So having those open areas within the woodlands really, really helps them. So yeah, it's been looking really positive this year for them.
Yeah. Well, that sounds lovely, particularly as these butterflies sound so impressive as well. So it must have been a wonderful sight to see them all fluttering round the glades that you've made there. So moving on to Hexton Chalk Pit Nature Reserve. That's a very different nature reserve near Hitchin, isn't it? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, so Hexton Chalk Pit is a little bit of chalk grassland. So it's full of wildflowers. It's a completely, mostly an unimproved area of grassland, which means that the soil quality is going to be quite poor and you're going to get the native wildflowers growing there. We have in abundance horseshoe vetch, which is a member of the pea family, and it's the food plant of the Chalk Hill Blue butterfly. And when we talk about food plants, that's what the caterpillars feed on and what the adult butterflies lay their eggs on or near. So other than laying the eggs on it, the adult butterflies won't be too worried about those plants. They will feed on the nectar of other things. Yeah, so the horseshoe vetch and the management of that site with traditional meadow cutting and aftermath grazing with sheep has kept the grass and the more scrubby growth sort of under control, and allowed that real flower-rich meadow to be maintained. And that's really benefited the Chalk Hill Blue. And this year we've actually had the highest number of Chalk Hill Blues counted since 2014. So I think they're doing well in the hot weather as well.
Yeah, indeed. That must have been beautiful, actually, a whole cloud of these gorgeous blue butterflies.
Yeah, superb, yeah.
Yeah, and then moving on to Danemead Nature Reserve, you've had a bit of success with the White Admiral butterfly there. Do you want to tell us what that butterfly looks like and how it's doing more generally?
Yeah, so the White Admiral is a black butterfly with white wing markings. It's of a fairly large size. It's just slightly smaller than, say, a Red Admiral, which is it's another dark butterfly with orange-red wing strips and some white dots on it. If you see a butterfly that is black with just white markings on the wings, and it flies very gracefully, so you almost don't see them flap their wings. They seem to just sort of swoop around really, really gracefully. And you find them in deciduous woodland. Again, the adults like to feed on bramble that's in a sunny situation, but actually the food plant of their caterpillars is honeysuckle. So we need to maintain sunny open rides in woodlands, but also maintain honeysuckle that's in a more sheltered position, which is where the adults will lay the eggs and the caterpillars will live all the way from September all the way through till May time, when they will pupate and then they will emerge as butterflies in June or July. So that they live for a very long time as caterpillars on those honeysuckle plants. There has been a decline of White Admiral in recent years, and one thought is that it could be because deer numbers are so high and they're actually browsing around the base of honeysuckle plants, so killing off honeysuckle. Yeah, which obviously without a food plant, the butterflies aren't able to lay their eggs and form a new generation. So yeah, that's one thought as to why they're actually not maybe doing quite so well. But yeah, they seem to be doing okay at Danemead.
That must have been good to see. That's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So obviously this isn't something that the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust has had anything necessarily to do with, but I wondered about butterflies that migrate, because we tend to think that, you know, butterflies just stay in one place, but this isn't the case with a lot of butterflies, is it? They actually come from quite a long way away. And I know that one of those is the painted lady butterfly, and I remember seeing quite a lot of them in the early summer, but I haven't seen any for a while. So what's happening here?
So the painted ladies, it's amazing, really. They migrate from North Africa. So if you imagine something as small as a butterfly flying that sort of distance, it almost seems impossible. The adult butterflies that you see early in the year, they migrate here to find their food plants that they can breed on, they can reproduce, they can lay their eggs on, which is actually thistles. So They will lay their eggs on thistles. Thistles are, you know, they're abundant in the UK. So that's one of the reasons they come here. And the hot, sunny weather that we've had through the spring and summer will have really encouraged them to come up. The ones that you saw early in the year would have been the migrants. And then you will find that you'll start seeing them again sort of around this kind of time. And that's actually the next generation. Those caterpillars would have fed on the thistles and then pupated, and then now will be on the wing as adult butterflies later in the summer.
Wow, that's good to know that that something's making good use of those thistles, which we sometimes
Absolutely,
see as being so troublesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, marvellous to hear. And just as you say, just amazing that something as so small and delicate as a butterfly can travel all that way. Quite amazing. So we've spoken there about butterflies that on the whole have done well this year. But are there any butterflies that really do not like hot weather? Any butterflies that are not doing so well?
Definitely, yeah. So a butterfly that used to be really abundant in the UK is the small tortoiseshell. It's a sort of orangey butterfly with white wing markings and a lovely, it's got like a blue border almost around the base of its wings. Yeah, really, really nice butterfly to see. In Europe, they're actually considered a sort of alpine butterfly, so they will live at higher elevation. And they used to do really well in the UK climate when it was cooler. But now we seem to have global warming, you know, making temperatures higher. Even the winters are getting warmer. Those butterflies aren't doing so well. So they're almost becoming, I feel, quite rare to see. And another thing, when they are around, they will be going into hibernation much earlier because they actually hibernate as well as adults. They will essentially be sheltering from the hot weather, from the hot sun. So they'll just go into hibernation even as early as now. So when you think a butterfly may be still, you know, flying around, it's finding it too hot. Definitely a species that things aren't looking so good for in the UK.
No, which is sad, isn't it? You know, I'm showing my age now, but I remember as a child that they were a butterfly you would expect to see in every garden. As you say, they are beautiful butterflies. And how sad to think that, you know, generations of children now will not get to see small tortoiseshells just in their own gardens and in the parks and in the countryside that they know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So we're now in the middle of the big butterfly count. I just wondered if you could tell us, butterflies are just one particular insect, aren't they? Why do you think the big butterfly count is so important?
So the big butterfly count's really important because butterflies in general, they're easy to see and they're a really good indicator of how well biodiversity is doing in any particular area where you're looking. So there's masses of different types of invertebrates around, and all of those will be indicative of how good an ecosystem is functioning. But I think butterflies are the easiest to see, therefore they're the easiest to count and monitor. And the big butterfly count, you know, it just requires you to stand in one place for 15 minutes in a sunny spot and just count the butterflies that you see. So relatively easy thing that hopefully, you know, most people would be able to manage to do.
Yes, indeed. And like you say, a great citizen science project, which is gathering serious data, which really does give information not just about butterflies, but about the entire ecosystem. So just to finish off, it is lovely to have butterflies around. Are there any ways in particular that you think that we should be trying to help them in our own gardens?
I think the best thing that we can do for butterflies is to try and get out of the habit of mowing our lawns down to nothing and leave at least some areas to grow up long through sort of May, June, July, even August, and then just give those areas one cut later in the year. You can use either like a strimmer or traditionally a scythe works really well. And then rake the grass off those areas because you don't want nutrients to be building up on there. And then that will encourage a more diverse range of plants to grow there. You'll get a more flower-rich area of grassland by doing that, essentially. So, yeah, just try and cut your grass only once a year and then rake it up afterwards. I think that would be the best thing that you could do. Or alternatively, if you don't have a lawn, encouraging some plants, some late flowering plants, so things like thistles, things like knapweeds, that will flower later into the summer to act as nectar sources for the adult butterflies.
Marvellous. Some good tips there. And Ian, just briefly, just tell us about your wonderful garden. You've moved into a new house and your garden was, you've worked out particularly good for butterflies.
Yeah, so since moving here, we've not cut the grass and it hasn't been cut for probably since, I don't know, last year. So it's very tall. And I've counted 11 species of butterfly in the garden so far, which I think for a small area is really impressive.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's hope that lots more of us are able to take those easy steps that you said and record similar sightings in their garden. Ian, thank you so much for telling us about butterflies today.
Thank you.
I was talking there to Ian Ward, Wilder Woodlands and Reserves Officer at the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And Ian asked me to add as a postscript that, of course, if the hot weather continues and wildflowers and plants start to dry up, then, of course, butterflies are negatively impacted. Now, as Ian said, this year's big butterfly count is now underway until the 9th of August, and it is very easy to take part and a lovely activity to do with kids off for the summer holidays. It's organised by the group Butterfly Conservation and it's easy to get help with butterfly identification and reporting your sightings on their website. And of course, I will pop a link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you will find on the podcast page of mix926.com, where you will also find me talking to Colin Plant, who tells us about how the nighttime counterpart of butterflies, the moths, are faring, something he's uniquely placed to do as Hertfordshire's moth recorder for a whopping 30 years. So, which plants or wildflowers have withstood the drought best in your garden or in the countryside near you? I would love to be able to share your findings. Do drop me an email on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook. I will be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.